The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they put a smile on your face. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, even sooner than you think you think. And then life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, and it'd probably be a good idea if we did. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. Boy, we proved that yesterday. We really didn't know what we were doing yesterday. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. How do I know what's going to happen 30 seconds from now? You don't either. And we don't care. But in the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian, going through that process, understanding that we face trials and we go through different elements. We go through ups and downs, but steady throughout the whole process is our connection to the Lord. Kind of an important part on all of this Christian stuff. I think what we do is we think of Christianity oftentimes as a religiosity, which is a very dangerous thing to do, because Christianity in its best or purest form is redemption from the garden. It's the restoration of that relationship that was lost. It's a living relationship with a living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. An empowerment of the Holy Spirit enables us to walk that day by day. Oh, 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 oh. Here we go. All right, so a couple things I want to let you know. Now, you can have a comment, you can have an opinion, you can have a thought. I know you have thoughts. And you can have a question. You can have anything you want. You can answer Bible trivia. You can do prayer requests and do praise reports. Whatever is working for you, it's working for us. As long as it's a blessing, that's what we're trying to communicate to one another. If you have any of those things that come up during the show, if you have an answer, if you have something that the Lord's put on your heart you want to share, if you have a testimony that you want to share, remember, testimonies for the people of God are wonderful. Other people hearing about the great things of God is a blessing for them because it enables them to have confidence for themselves as well, which is why testimonies ought to be part of our meditation. Here's the bottom line. You just reach out and call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, see, three times I got that phone number in. Terrific T, Tierra will answer the phone, and that's like the joy of a new puppy. Ah, that's fun, right? Yes. And then she turns you over to me, and then that's like the non-joyous part of a new puppy, which I think everybody can figure out if you're over five.
Holy Jesus.
That was a good play right there. You can also text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483, or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org is the email. It does come live during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, let's not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokies. So here we have that opportunity for you to go on the website and check things out. We got a bunch of things going on. So just in case you were wondering, because I've been kind of going through an oversee of some of the stuff we're doing on the show. So we're teaching in Psalms. We're going to be teaching in Ezra and Nehemiah. We're teaching in 1 Thessalonians. We're teaching in Matthew. We're teaching in Acts and in Colossians. Just not all at once. That's a lot to teach in. But in the meantime, we're going to be doing a little bit of focus on the Easter direction, especially in the second hour for today's show. In this beginning portion, I want to talk to you about something that's out of the book of Numbers. It's pretty funny because our Greek word of the day will correspond to Numbers later on. But Numbers chapter 14, verse 39 through 42 says the following. When Moses reported these words to all the Israelites, the people were overcome with grief. They got up early the next morning and they went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, "Let's go to the place that the Lord had promised, for we were wrong." But Moses responded, "Why are you going against the Lord's command? It won't succeed. Don't go, because the Lord is not among you, and you will be defeated by your enemies." Let me do a quick setup for you. This is in regards to the children of Israel when God had created for them the land of milk and honey, showed them the land. You had the spies. You had 12 spies go check out the land, and 10 of the spies came back, and they were like, "Ooh, I don't know." And they were producing a lot of fear in the people, plus they were complaining because the land had these big people, and they were telling the people, "This is bad, this is a bad thing, it's not good." In the meantime, they're insulting God because God had given them the promised land, and they're pretty much saying, "This is not good." So basically what they were doing was telling God, "Not good." The Lord did not appreciate that. Nor does he appreciate when you and I do that, just as a reference point. And in saying not good, the Lord was angry with the children of Israel, and there was a plague that was sent, and the first 10 people that died from that plague were in fact the people that gave that bad report. So that was kind of a disaster happening. After that took place, the people are like, "Oh, dumb, we were dumb. Now we're going to go get it." And that's what this text is all about. Now we're going to go into the land. Now we're going to do it. Now, this is after the Lord already said, "You didn't go in the land. I gave you the opportunity. You blew that opportunity. I'm not too happy with you. And I'm going to have to rearrange for you what you thought was going to take place so that it's going to fit so you can understand what you've done." But the people are like, "No, no, we blew it. But now we're going to go back and do it right. You watch us. Here we go." And Moses is like going, "What are you doing? You missed that boat. That boat came sailing down. You didn't jump on that boat. You got on your own skidoos and went the other direction. You missed it." So here's what I want to talk about. You think, well, wow, that's a deep history lesson. Watch. Watch the practicality that this fits into our Christian journey. The people, after they realized they did the wrong and they should have gone forward and the spies of the land gave a bad report and it created grumbling and complaining amongst the people, which, by the way, if things that you say and do create grumbling amongst the people of God, that's not a good thing. And so the people are like, "Man, that was wrong. We did that wrong. Okay, we're going to correct this ship. We're going to make it go the right direction." Now they wanted to do the right thing, but it was at the wrong time, because they had missed what God had opened for them. And so in Psalm 127:1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on." In other words, there's no point in trying to build something in the kingdom of God if God is not at the cornerstone of that building. It's just ridiculous. And so now they were going to right the wrong, and they were going to do it even without God, because they realized how bad of a mistake they made. And they just did not grasp that this was a partnership with God, so they were going independent. And remember what Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," which is really important to understand in the kingdom of God. And what I want to talk about is how you and I should handle when we miss opportunities that do come into our lives. And yes, you have missed them. And yes, I have missed them, or we have done incorrectly, or not responded correctly, or didn't handle that just right. The key in that is not to say to God, "All right, well, I'm going to rectify it." You understand? The key is not for us to look at God and go, oh, I did blow that opportunity with you, but now I'm going to set it straight. Watch me. That's not the key. The key is if you miss a boat that the Lord brings along on your Christian journey, do you know what you do? Watch this. Watch this. You dutifully and carefully wait for the next boat. You don't create your own boat. You wait for God's next boat. You don't tell God how it's going to go and how you're going to rectify it. You yield and surrender to the Lord and let His plan unfold. You don't tell God how you're going to do it. You surrender to how God wants to get it done now. And why I bring that up is because in our society, in our culture, we're like, even in the Christian culture, we're like, well, that was a mistake, and now I'm going to correct it. Sometimes you just got to acknowledge the mistake and yield. Yep, could have done that better. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Help my eyes to see and my ears to hear and my heart to know when that next boat comes. Please, I don't want to miss it again. Instead of dictating to God how it should be, it's a surrender to God, which is what He wants in the first place. I bring that up because I think some people try to overcompensate or overcorrect if something is not exactly right. Instead of overcompensating or overcorrecting, let's under ourselves fully submit to Him and let His plan bring it about, even if it's the second go-round. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
My entire life, of course, I mean, you know, my career used to be the, you know, the only thing I cared about, you know, in a sense, and now my family is my priority. So I still love my career and I love what I do for a living, but it keeps me grounded because, you know, the primary thing for me now is making sure that, you know, I've got a active and healthy family life.
You know, it's really, it's our privilege. We want you to know how much we appreciate it. I think your talent is undersold in the context that it's not promoted enough. I think some of your stuff is just anything that makes me laugh, especially the way the world is now, anything that makes me laugh, I love. I think it's gold. So I think you've done a lot of gold.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I probably got to re-edit that one little interview with the guy that makes me laugh. That's Weird Al Yankovic. That's why that's funny. Because you just would never think that he'd be on a Christian station, but he wrote a book, a children's book. And so we were doing an interview on that. But apparently I cut that part out. So good job, Dave. Way to edit. Yeah. That's me and editing. That's fantastic. Okay, let's do our first trivia question, a challenging, interesting, but should be pretty straightforward one. What is the name of the Bible prophet that preached in the valley that was full of dead men's bones? Da-da-da-da. You got to put some thought behind that music. Da-da-da-da. What's the name of the Bible prophet that preached in the valley full of dead men's bones? If you know the answer, there you go. That's it. That's it. I didn't realize we had that. That's good. That's because I forget all the time. 972-445-0770 is the number to call in. And then if you want to text in, it's 214-210-8483. So you can call in or you can text in. Somebody's already calling in, which is good, which means that somebody probably knows the answer. Full of dead men's bones. That's your big clue, the prophet that did that. We've got people responding all over the place. We love that. And I think we're going to go for it. We're ready? Ready? All right, here I go. Here I go. Here I go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Jerry, K-E-R-R-Y, Butler.
Jerry. Good to talk to you, Jerry. How you doing today?
It's Carrie, David.
Oh, Carrie, Carrie, K. Got it, got it. That's right. You know, that with his ears as big as mine, you would think I would never have a problem.
That's all right. You do a great job doing what you do.
Well, that's a blessing, Carrie. I appreciate that. All right, my good friend. So we had a prophet that did some prophesying, and it was a valley full of dead men's bones. Who are we talking about?
Ezekiel.
That is correct, sir. You are right.
Thank you.
Excellent job. That's the way to get the show rolling. You did an excellent job, and I appreciate that. And in the future when you call in, I will not forget how to pronounce your name.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me, and thanks for doing what you do.
God bless you, bro. Appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Take All care. Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. There we go. Good cause. That's cool. Now, that was good because, you know, that Carrie is really close to, you know, so I thought, you know, good job. But you would really think that, though, that with the ears that I have, that I could hear anything from, like, you know, a mile away. It's weird, isn't it? What are you going to do? All right, good job on that, Kerry. Excellent work. That was Ezekiel. By the way, for those that are looking for a reference point, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Never forget it, Ezekiel 37. One of the things that I did, I don't know if this will help anybody or not, but, you know, I do know a lot of addresses. That's what we say about Scripture. But I didn't just, that's the address, I never forget it. It's been 40-plus years I've been doing some of this stuff. What I did do, though, what I did figure out in memorizing or in knowing where things are in Scripture is I learned where the chapter was first. Always figure out where the chapter is first. Then you'll get to the verse. But to find out, you know, Ezekiel, okay, but what's the chapter? I know it's somewhere in 37. Bam! Then you go there, and then you can get more intricate from that point. Okay? Always find out, remember where the chapter is, because then you'll know where to go. All right, we did that. Let's do DNA. We want to do our DNA. Very important part of our walk is our DNA, what the building blocks are of our Christian functionality or our strands of living. The DN and the A all stand for something. The D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. And you will hear us on this show every time. I will pound it and pound it and pound it and pound it, because it is got to be that your Christian walk is not a twice a week, twice a year. It just can't be that. To have a genuine relationship with the Lord, you got to have a genuine relationship with the Lord. He's not a friend you talk to every 2 years. Okay? It's not how that works. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what the world says, no matter what the false prophets on television say, and that would be 90%+ of the news media. Yes, I know people don't like that. Too bad. They're telling people about God without defining God, using things that have nothing to do with God. That's false prophets. That's one of the best ways to define it. So never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what those people say. Who cares what they say? So that's D, that's the N, and then the A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means that you're sensitive to the Lord and his leading, his guidance and direction, but you're also aware of other people and recognizing that your service in the kingdom of God matters. And so you don't have to build a bonfire to it. Just you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to be sensitive to you. Use me today. That's all there is. Okay. All right, let's go into the next phase. This is a Pastor Ray devotional. As many of you know, I like Pastor Ray quite a bit. He's one of my better friends. And he teaches the Old Testament about as good as anybody I've ever heard. And I've been through, you know, triple PhD people in Old Testament classes. I mean, I've been through that. Ray has got a general grasp on the Old Testament about as well as anybody I've ever heard. But his devotionals, I love. That's what I like. And I like the, you know, I'm that guy that likes that devotional, that face-to-face kind of process. It just kind of fires me up. So here's one he wrote, and I want to read it to you. It's called When the Rooster Crows. Okay? Obviously having to do with closing in on Easter. At that moment, a rooster began to crow. That's John chapter 18, verse 27. Here's what it says. The moment that rooster crowed, Simon Peter's life was wrenched into a new dimension. Jesus predicted that Peter would betray him three times before the rooster crows. Peter valiantly replied, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." But to be associated with Jesus of Nazareth was dangerous. So Peter caved into his fears and denied his relationship with Jesus three times. Then he felt sick, knowing what he had done. The moment the rooster crowed, the moment he heard the piercing sound, Peter remembered Jesus' prediction and went out and wept bitterly. Peter wept in abject repentance. His heart ached, and he saw himself for the weak, frightened man that he was. Jesus had promised Peter that he would pray for him, and now his prayers were being answered as Peter humbled himself before God and cried tears of regret and sorrow. His breaking heart would soon be restored, and he would emerge a far stronger man of faith than the younger, brash Peter, once full of so much bravado and self-confidence, was. For Peter, the sound of the rooster crowing ushered in repentance and the dawn of a new day. Judas also betrayed Jesus, but his bitter remorse did not turn to repentance, but rather to self-destruction, because he was seized with remorse and committed suicide in despair. When the rooster crows in our lives, when a warning, a reminder, a wake-up call stirs our conscience and opens our eyes to the truth, we can choose to respond with repentance, like Peter, or with despair, like Judas. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. So the idea behind that, and when Ray wrote that, and that's from his book, you know, This Day, his devotional book, which we still have a link on our website for that. And we don't get anything for that or anything like that. It's just so you can have access to it. The idea behind this is that when the Lord brings that conviction, we were just talking about this in the earlier segment, that conviction that comes from the Lord, that's a grace. That's grace on high. That's mercy on high. It's both grace and mercy kind of in functionality, because God is giving us this opportunity to get it right, to set it straight, to surrender to him and to yield. And the rooster crowing, I give Ray a lot of credit, because I never thought of the rooster crowing as a wake-up call in the sense of resetting everything. Peter, he does the denial, the rooster crows, and he knows. Oh, I blew it. But the Lord had promised to pray for him. And then Jesus, remember, Peter denied him three times. And how many times did Jesus restore him in that conversation? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. You know what I'm saying? Three times there was restoration. It's a fantastic thought. The idea behind this is to understand that God will give us these moments and these times for us to reflect and be earnest about it, to humble ourselves and come before him and say, mold me. Make me. One of my preferred teachers from about 20 years ago had a guy named Gene Edwards. I don't really care about all of his theology. I care more about the fact that he wrote this book, you know, A Tale of Three Kings. And it's actually A Tale of Two Kings. I can't remember. It's his book on brokenness. That's all you got to remember, Gene Edwards. And the whole premise is God will break us. And if we're willing, he'll remold us. And it's like, oh, that's so good. That's Tale of Three Kings. So anyway, the idea behind that is to, if the Lord makes a correction, is changing you, is rearranging you, if he drops the pottery and the pieces shatter all over, he is able to pull all those pieces back together, add what he's going to add, which is his oil and which is his grace and mercy and love and, of course, the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus Christ reshape you into something he wants you to look like. Now, isn't that like, I want that. I want to be a Christian too. You know, it's like that kind of thing. Because it's like, I'm so far from that. When the Lord drops me, the last piece that hits the ground is shouting, what'd you do that for? What's the matter? Aren't you wearing gloves? You know, that's what I do. Instead of just being willing. So if the rooster crows and you hear it and it's for you, then just say, here I am. Mold me. Right? Because whoever that rock falls on, just as a point of reference, it crushes the person. But whoever that falls on that rock, which is Jesus Christ, will be broken. Sometimes you got to be broken before the Lord and give him that remold time. And you trust him for that. That's where the Jobinian element of 13:15 comes in. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. There you go. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, top of the hour, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, She's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway.